نعم يا يا تكون تلزمين يا سلام Today we were expected to have been dealing with the matters related to Kofta and the death book of the municipalities owing to the department and also water boards at the request of the minister who would really wish to have been part of this session. We agree that we should today host the department to deliver on its second quarter review. As a result of that, the minister is not present attending a bi-national commission in Botswana. And the deputy minister has a bereavement at home. There is an apology to that effect in writing. Mr. Chauke is busy on his family emergency that he had to apologize for not attending our meeting today. Mr. Gallo has prior commitments, knowing full well that today is the committee day. And also that Inkosi Cele-Khulu is not well. Those are the kinds of apologies that we have, which leaves us with how many members expected of us to be?
Four.
Four. We are expected to be four altogether. That we are five makes us look better. So, as I said, the only subject for today is our presentation that we shall get from the department on its second quarter report. Maybe just before, because Mr. Poson had requested that if he can leave earlier, 12:30 latest, as he has to go attend on another matter related to the work that we do here. I can say, DG, that what Mr. Poson is out for. He is out to go and view another innovation that manufactures water through what you call a vapor system. So he has been invited by the owner of the plant. I had actually mentioned to him that if he can make a report, I will certainly find time as well that we go there as some of our committee members, just to get a sense of what is happening out there. It's something that they do at small scale, something that they do, so I hear now, at a bigger scale, because one would have been exposed to those that they use in office spaces, you know, just for the little water that you need out there. That's what Jay is doing. Maybe just quick before we can run out of time at the end of our meeting. Announcements. One is an invitation for the 17th of November for the committee. It's World Water Day. This is handing over some of the sanitation projects in Upington. And secondly, an invitation for the Infrastructure Investment Summit on Water that takes place on the 5th of December. That is taking place in Johannesburg, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So those are the only two announcements that we can talk about going forward. Okay, DG, without waste of time, we shall hand over to you. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members and colleagues. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and present our second quarter report. We present this report in the time when we face a serious water shortages in the Western Cape, and we are working with the provincial as well as with the city of Cape Town to address those challenges. There are certain interventions that we'll make in the immediate future to make sure that we guarantee the supply of water for the people of Western Cape. Chairperson, our presentation today will be divided into two parts. The first part talks to the non-financial information for the department as well as for the main account as well as for the water trading entity. And the second part, which is part B and C, is the financial performance of the main account as well as for the trading entity. We are going to do a detailed presentation, but in summary, in terms of our performance for the main account, for the second quarter we achieved 60% and for the water trading entity at 75%. I must indicate up front that the what pulls us down to 60% is the program 3, which is our infrastructure, where we saw the achievement below 50% in terms of the achievement that were in terms of the indicators that were set for the third, for the second quarter. The first slide up to slide 7 is mainly our vision, mission, and as well as our program structure, of which has not changed from the previous financial year. Then from slide 7, that's where you see the performance in terms of the main account as well as the water trading entity. We focus mainly on the achievements that are above 60%. Where there's progress, we have indicated as partially achieved, but is not taken into the 60% achievement for the main account, as well as for the 75% for the water trading entity. The partial achievement, where there's progress, we did not take it to the overall achievement of the water trading entity. From slide 13, the presentation focuses mainly on the administration performance per sub-program, with reasons provided for areas where there's partial and non-achievement. Then slide 15 onwards indicates to water planning and information performance per sub-program and highlights the achievement and as well as where there's non-achievement. Babala is going to take us through on the non-financial information for both main account as well as the water trading entity. But I must say up front before we get to the presentation by Babalo that on the financial performance, Chairperson, you recall that on the water trading entity we had an overdraft at year end, and we had to enter into an agreement with National Treasury in terms of how we're going to reduce the overdraft. Just to remind members that at end of June, we had to pay 200 million, and end of March 2018, we should have paid 748. So we still have 548 million that we need to pay by end of March. I must say the shortfall or that overdraft. If you recall that we have a number of municipalities that are owing. Hence the shortfall, because the budget for the water trading entity, the part of it, was the forecast of the revenue that we're going to receive from those municipalities. To date, we are being owed about 3.8 billion by those municipalities. In the past, we spoke about the COCTA assisting us in recovering those monies owed by municipalities. We're still looking forward to that discussion with COCTA. We have taken the discussion with National Treasury up to a point where we asked that could it be possible to redirect the equitable share to the department so that we can have that funding in the department, but that was not possible. So a further discussion with the COCTA would be appreciated to make sure that we do receive that money that is owed by the municipalities. I must indicate, Chair, that the non-recovery of the money owed by municipality, there are serious implications in a department. As you know, that the water trading entity is charged with the building mega infrastructure. So if we don't recover that money, there is shortfall in the budget for some of our mega infrastructure. So it has serious implications. It's something that we should not lose sight of. Secondly, at the beginning of the financial year, from April to June, we've been having this discussion with National Treasury. So the first 3 months on the water trading entity, the budget was not sort of approved. We had this discussion, so the spend in the first quarter for the water trading entity was sort of affected. But on the main account, I think we are on target on that. There, to date, we spend about 46% of our budget, and all the transfer that is due to municipalities, we have since dispersed them, and the spending within the department, I think, is in line. You recall that we diverted or we reprioritized the WASIC as well as ACIP to fund the accruals that we had, especially around the bucket eradication. And I must indicate that of the accruals that we had at year end, we have paid most of it, over 80%. We shall provide a detail of how, in the past we did provide a detail, and we shall provide the progress that we've made. And all the accruals will be absorbed in the 17-18 financial year, Chairperson. We shall also indicate in terms of the municipalities that are owing, especially the top 10 municipalities that are owing us, we shall make that presentation, as well as we shall provide a detailed list of all the municipalities that are owing the department. But in the main, the bulk of it is around the municipalities that are being serviced by the Sedibeng Water Board. About 1.8 billion or 2 billion of the debt is coming from that side of, especially around the Northwest. Chairperson, with your permission, I'm going to allow Babalwa to make a presentation on the non-financial information. Then the two CFOs make the presentation for the main account as well as for the water trading entity.
If you can also respond to this earlier, I mean later rather. We understand that you are the CFO for the main account, because you have that responsibility as acting DG. Somebody else has to come in and act. But we don't hear anything about your water trading entity, CFO. If you can come back to us on that.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good morning, honorable members. I will quickly go to slide 7. The Acting DG actually had already mentioned that the department's performance is currently sitting at 60% for the main account, and for the water trading entity is sitting at an overall 75%. If you look at the slide, subsequent slide, slide 8, Program 1 achieved 88% of its planned milestones. The second program, Water Planning and Information Management, achieved 71%. And our Water Infrastructure Development Program, which is the third program, achieved 26% of its milestone. And our Water Sector Regulation Program achieved 76% of its planned milestones. And then in the subsequent slide, slide 9, it only indicates the percentage in relation to the number of indicators that they needed to achieve. You'll see that the milestones for program 1 were 8, planning had 14, infrastructure had 19, and water sector regulation had 17. which gives a total of 58 indicators that were monitored for the second quarter. If you go to the slide 10, you look at the sub-programs within the water trading, you'll see that under financial management, they achieved 67% of their milestones, and our proto CMAs, catchment management agencies, they achieved all their planned milestones. In this slide, it indicates the number of indicators that were monitored for the quarter. Under financial management, they had 3. Under water resource management, which is our proto catchment management agencies, they have 1. The slide 13 indicates the performance of the department of the branch administration. You'll see under corporate services, there was 100% achievement, financial management, and International Water Corporation. And then the branch program management unit had a partial achievement of their planned milestones. And slide 14 will tell you the reason for the yellow part, which is falling under the program management unit. You see that the department had planned to register about 50% of the water sector and sanitation skills. However, that plan was not achieved. It managed to register 27% of their planned milestones. If you go to Program 2, Water Planning and Information Management, our integrated planning achieved 75% of its milestones. Water ecosystems could not achieve their planned milestones. Information management, it's 100%. Water services and local water management, it is 80%. Sanitation planning and management, it's a partial achievement of its milestones, and policy and strategy achieved 100%. The first milestone relates to integrated planning. The department had actually planned to develop a response report for the Mukolo Crocodile West water augmentation, and the report was not finalized by the end of the quarter. And then the second one relates to the water ecosystems. The Mvoti Mzimkulu, there were delays in the translation of the gazette, and that had a knock-on effect in achieving its milestone. The Mukolo Crocodile West and Mukolo Matlavas water management areas also, there was also a delay in responding to the comments for the draft resource quality objectives. The third one, which relates to water services and local water management, it talks to the development of situational assessment for 17 district municipalities that was not achieved, and there were reallocation of funds will assist in achieving this target because there was a budget shortfall. And the fourth one, which is the water services authorities that had planned, that were planned for socioeconomic impact, that we only achieved 7 of the planned 39, and we indicated that there were delays that were experienced with municipalities concerned. We've listed them, and also the together that had cancelled the training in regard. I'm going to go to the third program, water infrastructure management. The sub-program strategic infrastructure development and management did not achieve its planned milestone. I will go into detail in the subsequent slide and explain. Operation of water resources achieved 60% of its milestone. Our regional bulk infrastructure, 20% of its milestones. Water services infrastructure grant, it partially achieved its milestones. And our accelerated community infrastructure program achieved 25% of its milestones. With regards to the strategic infrastructure development sub-program, this sub-program relates to the bulk raw water projects that should have been ready for implementation. In this sub-program, there were 5 projects that we should have been ready for implementation. However, the department managed to achieve 2. And we have indicated the projects that had a delay. In a nutshell, without reading what is in the slide, we had budget constraints relating to the SANI because there was insufficient allocation for the project. And we have also included for a recovery plan that we are requesting additional funding through the 2018-19 medium term. The second project that relates to that indicator is the Clan William. It is the tender evaluation process that took longer than anticipated, and also it was affected by insufficient budget allocation. And we have indicated in the recovery plan that we will commence with the bid evaluation, but that is also subject to the availability of funding for the 2018-19 medium term. The third project that also affected the performance of this sub-program is the Mzimbubu. The department has completed designs. However, the detailed designs are pending geotechnical investigations, and we plan to fast-track the geotechnical investigations so that the detailed designs can be finalized. Then the second area is that after our projects are ready for implementation, we have planned that three of the same projects should have been under construction. However, because of the knock-on effects of the projects that were not completed or were ready for implementation, Zanin was also affected. But this said, it must be indicated that there was some activity to trigger the construction, even though there was a slow breakage spillway for the concrete. And there are mechanisms that the department is using to speed up the demolition, and we have then subsequently revised the completion of date of the project to the third quarter. And then the second project that was affected is the Olifants River Water Resource Development Project, Phase 2D. This project was affected by budget cuts, and the work will actually commence if the project is received in the subsequent, meaning 2018 financial year medium term. If we go to the third one, because of our projects that could not start or that should not go in under construction, this sub-program could not create the job opportunities that were planned. And therefore, the job opportunities that were created were only from the one project that we managed to get under construction, which was Hazelmere Dam. And unfortunately, there is no substantive recovery plan in such, because it is dependent on the projects starting construction for the job opportunities to be created. We go, this one relates to the operation of our water resources. The two indicators relate to that. We had planned that we would complete about 390 projects from our asset annual maintenance plan, and we managed to do 72 for the period in question. And this one also was affected by what the acting DG has mentioned, overdraft, and therefore our budget was affected, and we had a delay of 3 months to implement our projects, so we have got a knock-on effect from that 3 months delay. We are attempting to fast-track the implementation of the maintenance plan to recover the lost time through increasing of the resources and using existing term contracts, more especially for the central operations. And the second one, we have planned to rehabilitate 5 kilometers. We managed to do 1.3. And the productivity levels were affected in the listed dams, as well we also need to comply with new supply chain and management regulations that were introduced by the 1st of April. So in certain projects, we have to retender. And we have therefore reprioritized some of our budget to allow or to fund those that are high performing so that we can accelerate those projects. And we've listed the projects where we have reprioritized funds to for accelerating in slide 24. The third one relates to our regional bulk infrastructure sub-program. We managed to get 10 projects instead of the 15 mega regional bulk infrastructure projects under construction. We have provided the comments for the 5 projects that were affected. The initial designs had to be done because of budget constraints. And the second one for the Citibank, the project was stopped replaced for a much more cheaper option or much more cost-effective option, which was Leoko and Ritzprint. And then the Western Area project, there were also uncertainty with funding issues, and the project was also put on hold. The last two projects that are form part of this indicator, the Spion Court to Lady Smith, we are just looking at finalizing the implementation agreements by the end of this month, and also the Bulukwane, which had planned that should have been under construction by the second quarter, the planning process has not been finalized, so we are planning to fast track that for completion. The second activity relating to the regional bulk infrastructure, we had planned that we should be having 53 projects under construction. We managed to do 46 under construction. We have actually provided a sample of the projects, and we just selected a number of projects per province. From the Free State, the projects that are affected is Masilonyana, Ngwate, bulk water supply and bulk sewer supply. We have also indicated that there were a number of issues ranging from budget shortfall, delays in finalizing designs, and also some certain issues were affected by changes in a municipal administrator within the province. The other province that we sampled is the Giani Bulk Water Scheme, the drought relief project. The contractor had suspended the work on site. We had delays in that, but then since the payment issues have been resolved, the contractor is now back on site. In Mpumalanga, Emalahleni Bulk Water Scheme, also in Sugaligwa, are the two projects that we sampled from Mpumalanga. There were also delays from the planning side, and we are planning to fast-track that planning work. And also, there were also delays in finalizing the service level agreements with the implementation of the project from Sugaligwa. And this now, if subsequently has been finalized. I am now in slide 28. Going to slide 29, it also talks to the regional bulk infrastructure projects. We've also sampled a few projects there, because we had planned to do 41 and we managed to do 26 projects for the question. And we sampled the Middleburg groundwater scheme that is in the Eastern Cape, Zambezi River and Magana. We have indicated the projects that were delayed, procurement process in Krisani District Municipality. Zambezi River had insufficient funding allocation, and Magana bulk sewer, we are waiting for a contractor appointment. And we have got a recovery plan for Milberg, Zambezi River and Makana, provided also there in slide 29. This one relates to the water services infrastructure grant in the department. We've also sampled here a number of projects in Mafube, Bank Sewa, which is in the Free State, and we had budget constraints relating to that one, and therefore we couldn't commence. Sibange, there were delays also in the finalizing of the service level agreement, and we, as I had indicated in the previous slide, the service level agreements have now been finalized and the project should be underway. This one relates to the battery eradication program. We had planned that we should have replaced 7,000, over 7,000 buckets. Sanitation, we managed to do just over 1,000 bucket sanitation systems. This is the program that had a limited budget allocation for the 2016-17 financial year, and therefore we couldn't really achieve the claim milestone. We have since requested additional funding from the National Treasury just for the department to finalize the backlog that we have. This one relates the water services infrastructure grant under construction. We had planned to do 174 projects. We managed to do 108 under construction, to get under an 8 under construction. We have sampled the project issues here, and we indicated that we had a budget approval, delays in budget approval process, and also the department had reprioritized its schedule 6B towards payment of accruals, and for certain in municipalities there were delay in appointment of contractors, so we are going to oversee that support the appointment of contractors. The slide 32, this relates to the accelerated community infrastructure projects. We had planned to do 55, but we managed to do one. As the acting DG had mentioned, that the budget for the sub-program was reprioritized to pay for the bucket eradication program, so that's why we have only managed to implement one. And also this, the second indicator relates to the resource poor farmers. We managed to support 103, and we had planned to support 357. We also indicated a sample of issues there, that in KwaZulu-Natal, we had delays in approval of the transfer agreement, and also in Limpopo, we had delays with finalizing the procurement process. And the recovery plan indicates that we are planning to fast-track the implementation, and we foresee to be using our departmental construction unit to assist us with the installation of the tanks. I'm now in Program 4, which is the last program of the department. If you look at the first sub-program, Economic and Social Regulation, they achieved 57% of their milestones. Water use authorization, they achieved partially achieved 100% of their milestones. And the other sub-programs, which is water services, water supply services and sanitation regulation, compliance monitoring and enforcement, and institutional oversight, they achieved their second quarter milestone. And slide 34 explains the reasons for underachievement in the economic and social regulation. This relates to the long-term solution of the asset mine drainage. We had planned that we should have done public participation as part of the EIA process. We couldn't do that. That single source procurement is that was not approved by the National Treasury is one of the reasons why we couldn't achieve, and we're planning to expedite the process, the EIA process. And the second one is also the establishment of mine water technologies, and also we had comments from the relevant parties, and that process actually took longer than expected. And the third one on this sub-program is the economic regulator. The consultation process could not take place because the internal approval process had also not been finalized. The second one relates to the water use authorization sub-program. We had only achieved 63% of the plan to finalize 80% of the water use authorization, and the numbers that we had managed to do 85 of the plan, 136. And this sub-program has got capacity issues, and therefore we are planning to recruit more capacity, more especially the specialist inputs, to ensure that this project, this sub-program achieves its milestones. That is it for the main account. If we go to the water trading entity under financial management, the one milestone that we plan to do relates to spending 50% of our, 15% of our procurement budget to qualifying small enterprises, and the department managed to spend 14%. The implementation of the new procurement process regulations are the one that actually necessitated the department to actually review our demand management plan for the financial year, and therefore we could not really meet the plan of procuring 15% from the qualifying small enterprises. That it should be it. Thank you, Acting DG.
Good morning, committee members. Just to take you over the finance side of things, on there are 9 slides that I'll talk to which relate to the main account finances. When you go to slide 39, it shows that of the...
Yeah, I was also asking the same question with Madia.
Okay, my name is Rebecca Nkomo. I'm currently acting in the main account branch, finance, CFO. As I had indicated, the budget has been adjusted down to 15.1 billion, of which about 77% of it comprises of grants and allocated to grants. Now, if you had to look at the slide, the percentage spent to date is 46%. Which is 8.1 billion. If we were to go to the next slide, of the 4 programs, what we had anticipated to spend was around 7.4 billion, which was supposed to be around 49.4% instead of the 46% that we currently had spent. Now, in terms, if we look at the spending per economic classification, compensation of employees, we had underspent on the projections by 6%. Goods and services, we had underspent by around 30% of what we had projected to spend. Then on the transfers and subsidies, we had underspent by 10%. Payments for capital assets, we had actually overspent by around 11%.
Maybe you shall assist us so that we don't come back to this as in the form of questions.
Okay.
When we say we have underspent, we have overspent, if you can just very briefly due to this reason, so that we don't have to come back to...
Yeah. I think the next slide actually talking to under composition of employees, why would you have underspent? If you can see that slide, it actually takes you back. So you one will just have to refer to the previous slide of that whole table to explain under why we say composition of employees we don't understand. But to make the committee members understand, this understanding is based on what we had projected to spend by 30th of September versus what we actually spent by 30th of September. So under compensation of employees, as I had indicated, we actually underspent by 6% what we had projected. Now, on slide 41, it shows why compensation, the 6%. We say the vacancy rate in the department, the processes that we have to follow led to us the slow pace of filling the post and the attrition in the department with the savings that comes from the people that leave the department versus the slow pace of actually bringing people in and the processes that are deemed to be followed. And the other part, we National Treasury did cut around 80 million to defray that to the package eradication program and to also cater for office accommodation, which sits under goods and services. And it should be noted, committee members, that this budget, the compensation of employees budget, has now been exclusively and specifically earmarked and appropriated, meaning we cannot transfer the funds to utilize it under goods and services or to utilize it under infrastructure development. So if I was to speak to the goods and services, which is slide 42, remember I was saying that goods and services had actually underspent from what we had initially projected by around 29-30%. Now, to explain the reason that we didn't get to what we had planned is that we had received invoices late from service providers by the 30th of September date. Those invoices would come after the date for the work done before 30th of September, so we could only honor those invoices in the latter months, October or November. Then the other issue is that there were a couple of terms of references that we needed to finalize, which we had initially planned that they would be finalized by September, then the procurement process gets underway. Now, because of many issues which relate to constitution of structures to sit in and deliberate on the terms of references and those processes, those were delayed, which led to the slowness of spending within goods and services, which was later taken care of in most instances during October and November. Then when you go to the next slide, which is slide 43, which speaks to transfers and subsidies. Now, your transfers and subsidies, we couldn't transfer 10% of what we initially projected to transfer, which was around 418 million. The major contributors to this not being transferred is that we do transfers to our foreign government and international organization called COBO. Because of what they had claimed, we could only transfer as per their claim. We have Umgeni Water Board, who initially had planned to spend or to transfer around 231 million by 30th of September, but because they didn't follow certain compliance-related deliverables, we had to withhold the transfer until around October. That's when we did the transfer, after they met the required processes. The other issue was that we actually have WISIC and ASBIC transfers that we couldn't also honor because of compliance-related issues around the area. Now, we needed whoever we're transferring to comply to certain parameters which they didn't honor, and we also couldn't transfer at to that time. Hence, the transfer and subsidies economic classification underspent. Then if we go to your next slide, which is slide 44, payments for capital assets. I had alluded that okay, Chairperson. I wanted her to go back and explain. She said something like they didn't transfer certain things. I want her to clarify those certain things under 481 million. Under the transfers and subsidies. Okay, the significant figure that was not transferred was in Geni Water by 30th of September. We had planned to transfer that figure. Now, the Umgeni Water needs to satisfy deliverables as per business plan and to supply us with documentation that refers to the work done on the ground. Now, at the time that they claimed for the transfer, they didn't give us all the documentation that required as a department. in compliance to the DORA, because we're supposed to actually look at those kind of issues before and to satisfy ourselves as a department that the money previously transferred had actually done the work that it was supposed to do. So before we can fulfill and transfer any further, we needed to satisfy ourselves that whatever we have transferred to date has actually gone according to what was planned. Okay. Similarly to the RISIC and the RBIC programs, it's the same issues. If we don't get the necessary documentation, we can't satisfy ourselves and be comfortable to carry on transfer more funds while there is no audit trail to how the funds have been previously utilized. Okay, if I'm to speak to the payments for capital asset, we actually overspend, say, by around 11% of what we had initially projected to spend. The biggest cost driver was the catering for the bucket eradication program. We had accruals that ran from the previous financial year that we needed to honor because the services were already rendered. Now, these are infrastructure projects, so that's why they shoot up on the payments of capital assets. As well as invoices paid to the WTEE, our sister partner for the construction work done on behalf of the main account program too, water planning and information. Okay, just to give us a short synopsis, remember I had said that around 77% of our budget is actually on grants. Slide 46 actually gives a picture of the different programs within the department where money is directed to indirectly or directly as transfers. We were more or less in line or in sync with what we had projected, except for Ungeni Water, where I had alluded that we needed to have transferred half of the funds by 30th of September but couldn't because of compliance-related issues. We also had underspending on Water Services Infrastructure Grant, which is your indirect grant, and Accelerated Community Program, which is the ASIP. Now, on the next slide, I actually explained why these three, and then on the bucket eradication program committee members, we, because of the previous accruals, we actually had paid over in excess by 200 million because of the work done on the ground versus the budget allocated because of the constraints within the department. The next slide then explains there's three areas that I've actually pointed to. The Ungeni Water, I indicated the late payment, and it's been said in the previous slides again that we actually did honor the payment in October, the 231 million. And then on the other water boards, we are in line with we had transferred in line with projections and drawings by 30th of September. Then what we had to reprioritize was the WISIC indirect grant and the ASIP grant. Hence, you see that they had only spent within their own sphere 14% and 1% respectively. Now, that was directed to cater for the bucket eradication program indirect grant. Hence, that had to be overspent. Now, the BEP, again, just to clarify, we had initially had accrual of around 1.5 billion, which is most of it around the bucket eradication program, but we had other goods and services related invoices, other aspects, but there were a significant portion. Now, up to date, we have honored most of those invoices, like the acting DG had said, around 80-90%. We still have around 259 million of invoices still to be settled, which relates to the bucket eradication program. And we have since reprioritized ASIP and WISIC, the other avenue we're taking is to look at where the department will in the future not be able to spend in accordance to what was projected. Now we're still doing that exercise to see where we might need to defray to next year the project, because they have not yet been on the ground and will utilize any of that money for where there's shortfall. I think that's it on the main side.
Thank you. If I can go through the WTE figures, this is a summary of what happened for the first 6 months. So the income for the first 6 months. Sorry, I'll go back and introduce myself. My name is Paul Nell. I'm the acting CFO in the water trading entity. Okay, if I can continue. Page 49 is a synopsis just of the first 6 months. So we've built for 5.8 billion. Against that, we've got expenditure of 5.2 billion. If I go to slide 50, which is a summary of everything. This is what we build. It's not cash receipts. These are the billings. It's billings. Yeah, it's invoicing. It's not. We're not getting that money in. When I go further, I'll show that we're not getting the money. On the further slide, page 50 is a summary of everything. Our revenues for the first 6 months is 102% of the budget, so slightly up there. That's because of our construction income. When our construction unit do work, we don't always know exactly beginning of the year how much they'll do because they work for third parties. So they've more than doubled the construction income there. But then corresponding to that is the expenditure. Because we don't make a profit there, you'll see the revenues increased by 109 and then the expenditure also increased by 109. That's the reason for the increase, the increase in the revenue. Then if we look at the operating expenditure, we're 104% of budget, so we're slightly over there, but again, this is because of the construction income that's a bit over, or it's over, nearly double over, but the compensation of employees, we only got 87% of the budget, and the goods and services, 90% of the budget. I'll give a bit of a reason why we are down there. When we look at the project expenditure, we only hit 55% of budget. That's why I need to explain. At the beginning of the year, in the first week of April, National Treasury froze our account. They froze the account. They said we can't continue working until we come and present them with a budget that they're happy with. So it took the whole month to negotiate with them. We presented them with a budget. They still weren't happy. They wanted us to take out all non-core business. So we went back again. They wanted to see how we're going to start repaying the overdraft. That's where we got to the 748. In that period, because we've got a budget blocking on our system, the system won't allow you to go and spend any money unless the budget's there. So it took us basically 2 months before we could negotiate with them where they were happy with the budget and then the budget could be loaded onto the system. So it's not because the line didn't want to spend the money. They were consistently wanting to spend the money, but it's an administrative thing. We couldn't allow them to until the budget had been finalized. That's the reason for the underspending, that we're only 55%. If I can go to page 51. This is just the executive summary. I've said the revenue is 5.8. That's not the bill. That's what we billed, not what we received. Against expenditure of 5.2. The cash in the bank is 1.5 after the first 6 months. Well, remember we had 2.675 at 31 March. So we've brought that down quite a lot in the first 6 months because of the 600 million difference between revenue and expenditure. The debt is, this is where the debt has come. The debt has increased to 10.6 billion after the first 6 months. So the municipalities owe us 232 million more, and the water boards owe us 570 more. So already, just between those two, the debtors book has increased by 739 million. So this answers your question. Did we receive the money? No. We billed the money, but we haven't received it. So the debtors are just getting more and more. If I can go to page 52. I've spoken about this. I said the revenue is up 102%, mostly because of construction. The operating expenditure is 104%. That's also due to construction being up. It's a smaller base, so the 104%. And then I've spoken about the project expenditure that's only 55% of budget due to the problems we had opening our accounts at the beginning of the financial year. The cash movement, this is just for the month. It shows again that we're within our target. We had a 2.675, we have to reduce it by 748. Our target at 31 March next year is 1.9. So at this stage we are within our target, we're already 1.5 within that target. On the next page, this is we're looking at our debtors book now between 31 March and 30 September. We're just comparing what happened to the balances in the last 6 months. So we'll see for the companies and individuals, it's come down by 122 million. The balance is reducing. But when we look at municipalities, we see an increase there. It's increasing. 232 million it's increased by, just the municipalities. And then the biggest culprit there is the water boards. I'll explain further. We've got a slide on the water boards, which is 507. So between those two, it's increased by 759 million, the debtors book. On the next page, this shows the over the 6 months, just shows where the debt is. So we see municipalities over 3.8 billion, but of which 3.47 billion is over 6 months. That's the old debt, 3.4 million. Water boards the same. Well, they're not that bad. They're over 3.4 in total, of 2.2 of that is over 6 months. So in total, the debt for the municipalities and water boards over 6 months is now 5.7 billion. Next page, I've mentioned this, the company's individual have decreased there, they've gone down by 122 million. The next one, please. So it's just showing the cash receipt for the, this is now we're just looking month by month, this was just for the month. We received 769 million and we paid 704 million, which is positive. The balance at the end was 1.5. Next one, please. This just shows, this is the individual, just the status of the individuals. 61% of there's disputes on them. There's a 23% we've handed them over for legal, so there's 105 million that we've handed over for the lawyers to collect. The next one shows the companies. Yeah, there's 46% disputes, and we've handed over 15% of them, which is 237 million. The next one is where the problem is, the municipalities. We show the top 10 municipalities, the top 10 that owe us the money. So between the top 10, they owe us 2.5 billion, of which 2.3 billion is over 6 months. So this is really the where our problem is. We've got one dispute, Dr. Ruth, we've got a dispute there where they're saying it should be the local municipality, the district municipality, not the local municipality. That's between them, but they're not paying us in the meantime, they're not paying us the money. Somebody like Mupani, district municipality, we've had meetings with him. The new MM was very willing to cooperate with us. But when he comes and talks to us, he says, but they've got no budget for this. So they can't even pay us because there's no budget. I mean, for me, that's, surely you've got a budget for your water account, but that's one of the problems they've got. They've got to go back to get the budget approved before they can pay us. Most of these municipalities have said they're going to defend. That's only because if they don't defend, that means we can get default judgment against them. So it's the proper thing to do. But in the meantime, just the lawyers are getting rich. They're the guys that are making money. We're fighting our family, really. And the lawyers are getting rich through it. The next one, this is just the long outstanding municipalities. There's 254 of them in total. We've handed over 121 for legal. The summonses are... Well, they haven't been issued yet, 121, but they're on the way. There's already 59 summonses that have gone out, of which we've got 60 of judgment. And then there's 74 that are behind, but they've promised to pay, and then they pay, and then they stop paying, they pay. But we haven't issued, we haven't handed them over yet, because we are getting money from them. On the next page, I've said that, 59 issued, 6 court judgments so far, 121 still in the legal process, and then 74 we haven't handed over yet, because they are paying. Or promise to pay. District municipalities increasing, smaller figures, but they've also increased over the 6 months by 115 million. The local municipalities have increased by 104 million. And then the water boards. Now, the water boards owe us 3.4 billion, of which 2.2 billion is over 6 months. The biggest one here is Sydney Bank Water. They owe us 2 billion.
Okay.
I'll slow down.
Sisina incwadi phambi kwethu mama. Your report. Okay.
May I continue? on the water boards, in total they owe us 3.5 billion. Of that 3.5 billion, 2.2 billion is over 6 months. The major contributor here is Sedibeng Water, who owes 2 billion in total, of which 1.8 is over 6 months. When we talk to Sedibeng Water, they're in the same boat as we are. They've got the same problems. They are owed 3.1 billion by these municipalities, of which Matabeng local municipality owes them 1.9 billion. So that's most of their debt is 1.9 billion. So it's not, they're in the same boat. When we look at ways of recouping our money from municipalities, we must please include them as well, because it's the same thing. So there they are, with one municipality owing them 1.9 billion. Rand Water, there's an amount in over 6 months. This was due to when they took over the Bushbuck Ridge Water Board. At that date, they took over the assets and liabilities of the Water Board. Now, they've taken over the assets, but at that stage, one of the liabilities they took over was the money that was owed to the department. So they're still disputing that. So they're saying that's old debt that they don't want to pay. It's since the day that they took over the Bushbuck Ridge Water Board. That's 3 years, I'm guessing.
2014.
Since 2014. They're saying that that's not their bet. They don't want to... They took over the assets, but they're not happy taking over the liabilities. Iku Kela is the other one that's not paying us at the moment. They're negotiating. They're wanting us to write off 50%, but there's no ways we can write off our debt. Remember, once we write off somebody's debt, we're going to have to do it to everybody. So there's no... We've had people before asking us to write off even the interest. We can't write off the interest. So we're not being kind to anybody. We're not having any favorites. We're treating them all the same. The other water boards are all paying. There's no problem with other water boards. And having Wench and Rand Water, they're actually the best paying water board of all. They've got this old debt there, that figure there, but the rest they pay every month on time. There's never a problem. Okay, those are the comments what I've already said now. They increased from 3 billion to 3.5 billion over the 6 months, the water boards. On the Sedibeng Water, we actually tried to assist them, and we called those municipalities that weren't paying Sedibeng. We called them all to our offices to come and talk to us and told them to go and get council resolutions to see how they're going to repay the debt. Unfortunately, nobody started paying. They just are not cooperating. On the next page, I've spoken about Kukela. They wanted us to write off 50%. We told them we can't. So now, unfortunately, we'll have to take legal follow-up with legal action. There's nothing we can do there. National government has increased by 6 million. The irrigation boards in total have increased by 20 million, and the water user associations have increased by about 40 million.
And just let's go back to public works and say something.
On which one? So these departments are, the debt is increasing. It's mostly the Department of Agriculture and Department of Public Works where the debt is increasing. So the debt is increased by six million over the 6 months. Okay. Okay, then the next slide, irrigation boards. The irrigation boards and the water users associations are also increasing. It's not that big figures, but they're also increasing month by month. On page 70, I've listed just the steps that you've seen this before. These are just the steps that we've taken to try and get the money back over the period. But 72 is really what we've come down to. On 72, we're showing what we say the solution is. We're saying really either National Treasury must stop withholding the equitable share and stop paying these municipalities. Remember, they're not paying us the money. So either they've got a paying customer that's paying them the money, or they're getting the equitable share from National Treasury. Either way, they're getting money in. But they're not using that money to pay us. They're using the money to do other things. So we hope that National Treasury will assist us by withholding the equitable share. I think there's a problem there. They said they might do it 1 month, but then they can't continue doing it. They've also got obligations to pay the people. And then the main one is restricting the water supply. It's not going to be very popular, but because each of these municipalities do have paying people, so you're penalising the industries as well as the people that are paying the water accounts if we restrict the water. So the good guys are getting penalized because the municipality aren't paying us there, if I can put it that way, paying us. But that's what we're saying. Those are the things. Either Treasury must come and help or we must restrict the water. If I can flip through to 75 then. This is our call centre. We've got a newly established call centre.
I guess Kulan Lens is 80 or Shalem Yang, Bobas is Ozel, and I'm not from an artist Lale in that. I took Shao Moyage.
Lovely.
Leant is on there.
Okay.
All right.
I took Puma and Shalem 5 minutes and
yeah. So, scoop again.
Okay, page 75 shows us the results of our call center. We've got an up and running call center now where people can call in with any queries they have. So it shows there that 85%, we've resolved 85% of what's come in. Remember, this will never be zero because it's a call center that's ongoing all the time. So you'll have every year, at the edge is your picture's gone, but at any one stage you will have outstanding items. But at this stage, there's 85% that has been resolved. The main problem there is where people get billed, but they've already moved, they've transferred their property. So we don't know about that, so they moved, we keep on billing them, then there's a problem. There's billing duplication where we used to bill them directly, but then they go and join the Water User Association and say, but now they're getting a bill from the Water User Association and we're also billing them. Each of these cases, then that means we've got to send somebody else to go and investigate to see where they are getting their water. And then the other high one is the tariffs, where they're disputing the tariffs.
As you talk, if you can just mention the slide number.
Mention this? Oh, 75, sorry. At 75. On slide 75. And then in the next page, on slide 76, this is where it's mostly on the water licenses, the problems there. Again, property ownership, changes in property ownership. You'll see we've only resolved 18% of the issues there. This is where people say, but they've sold the property, they shouldn't be billed. But now we've got to go and investigate to say exactly when did the transfer take place. We don't always know. If people don't let us know that they've moved, we wouldn't know about that. And the problem is also then the new person comes in and we don't know, we should be billing somebody else. Otherwise, the next one, higher one, is the volumes, where they're disputing the volumes. Once again, we've got to go and investigate each one of these cases. So on this slide, it's not, there is, it takes a lot longer. There's only 45% that we've resolved, but then there's a lot less of these on this. The last slide 77, these are augmentation funded projects. I mentioned there that the spending is low because of the problems we had with National Treasury closing our accounts. We forced them not to spend that money for the first couple of months, and they're catching up, but it's going to take a while just to catch up. We're confident by the end of the financial year we will have caught up. Thank you, Chair.
DG, you fine? Everything covered? Maybe just as we are preparing ourselves, I hear there is so much mentioning about collection, and I guess this has to do more with the municipalities and their liabilities. Would you have come to a point where, or a stage where, you are able to cost your legal fees? Let's talk for argument's sake in this second quarter. We missed on the past financial year on the legal bill that the department shall have picked up. As I say, we missed. It is something I want to believe that we'll be so much inundated with as a committee. Dovetailed with that will also be your debt collector. The debt collector is something also that is going to be with us for quite some time. Whether these fees will also talk to that figure that you make as a payment to the debt collector, or are they separate? You've been talking a lot about the collection interventions and collection of this, collection of that, and the legal fees and some of these judgments that have been meted against the department. Just as a general one. And then, of course, I was keen on the status of your WTE CFO. He's been absent for quite some time, and there hasn't been much said about his whereabouts. All what we hear is Paul comes to the committee meetings, and we don't hear at all. He has a responsibility. When it comes to quarterly reports, when it comes to annual reports, when it comes to budget, we expect those officials, senior officials, to be with us. Okay, Mrs. Kekana, Mr. Pason, Mr. Mgone, Mam Kaula.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Chair, from the main account, what does partial achievement mean for the eradication of the budget toilet system? And when will the situational assessment for 17 district municipalities be completed? That's my question. That's my second question, because we are on the second quarter report. Where were the funds for the situational assessment reprioritized from, and what is the amount of the reprioritized funds? I don't want to go further, Chair, but the last question is, what delayed the signing of MOAF for the Mokolo Crocodile Wastewater Augmentation Project? Thank you.
Mr. Pasan, followed by Mam Kaula, and then Mr. Mguna.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let's just once and for all discuss this thing on the equitable share. Chairperson, I want the DG or the acting DG to write down question of the reply of the minister in 2015, question 1837, dated 22 May 2015. In my constituency, Maribeng, I stopped the equitable share four times. I'm stopping it now for the fifth time. The Act stipulates a municipality that owes anybody longer than 30 days, the equitable share could be withheld. They can even lose it. Now, Chair, I want to read you what the Minister of the then, of COCTA then, wrote to me after I requested that it be stopped. So you cannot have an umbrella negotiations with National Treasury, because that's not how they do it. The way they do it is the following. Maribeng, equitable share was 116 million. So they withheld the 160 million, and then they said, how much do you owe Eskom? 60 million. Right, I'm releasing 60 million to you. You pay Eskom. You send me proof of payment, and then I will release the balance. So what happened? With the equitable share, and I'm reading, yes, the equitable share was used to pay some of the outstanding accounts, response to both A and B, 60 million to Eskom,
10 million to City of Tshwane, 3.07 million to Magalies Water Board, 1.5 million to Sandspruit, 1.2 million to the Department of Water and Sanitation, and the balance of 40 million was paid to the municipality. So what do you do? You only need as a service provider, write to National Treasury and say, these people are not in line with the Act. They owe money. Not all the municipalities. If there's 50 municipalities, you write them 50 letters. They withhold this. And they cannot pay on your behalf. What they do is they give the municipality, they transfer the amount, and then the municipality pays it to them, give proof, and after they've given all the proof, they pay the balance out. I've done it 4 times. I'm going to do it now for the 5th time in Maripen. So it can be done, and the reply is there, how it's been done, and it's been done with the equitable share. But I agree that National Treasury won't withheld the money and pay you directly. They're not allowed to do it. But there is another way around. Withheld it, and then the municipality must negotiate with National Treasury, I'll pay so much to you. You accept it, you sign an agreement. The minister says in the letter they have to sign an agreement between Maribeng and Eskom, and it provides that they will take 60 million and the balance they will pay off in this way. So please go and have a look at that. Like I said, it's reply 1837, date 22 May 2015, and just see whether you cannot use that to get your hands of the municipalities of the equitable share, getting even if you can do it, they get twice a year equitable share. So if you can get some of your money back, not all the money, but if you can start to get back some of the money every time they get. So every time when you know it's time now to pay equitable share, you say, but these guys are owing us money, and then National Treasury is not allowed to pay it out because there is a regulation that says you are not allowed to owe people more than 30 days to qualify for your equitable share. So as soon as you make it aware to the municipality that these people are owing you since this date, so all I do is I write to both the Minister of Finance, the Minister of COGTA, and I say, these accounts are according to, here's the proof from Eskom, or here's the proof from the Department of Water and Sanitation. This account is outstanding now since last year. Then they keep back the equitable share. They're not allowed to pay it out. And then you negotiate with the municipality. Your equitable share is withheld. How much money can I get out of your equitable share? You sign an agreement with them, send it to National Treasury, they pay that amount out to them. They must, before they get the balance, they must give proof that they've paid you. Otherwise, they will forfeit the balance of that. And in Maribeng's case, they at one stage, the first time, they forfeited the balance because they didn't honor the agreement, they didn't pay, so the National Treasury did not pay out 75 million rand. They lost it. So go and see whether you can't utilize that route to get money in. Because that 10 billion that's outstanding will grow. You'll come in the third quarter, it'll be 13 billion. On the water boards, it's something else. It's under your control. You need to, but I presume they can go and do exactly the same because it's also municipalities that owe their money. Chairperson, that's just how I see it. Then the second thing that I want, we've discussed at the previous meeting, whilst National Treasury was here, now I think you were in a meeting, but I don't think the DG wasn't here. National Treasury indicated in a meeting they opened for negotiations on the overdraft. They knew, and he said it, I caught you with your pants on your knees and you just have to accept whatever you do. But the mere fact is you're putting yourself under strain in your department and you're putting infrastructure on risk. Go now and renegotiate.
with the Reserve Bank, with National Treasury, to extend that money so that you can utilize some of the money for infrastructure. Doesn't cost you money because they don't charge you interest. So the longer you can, if you can say, we can pay this year, we can pay 500 million or 400 million next year, 400 million, you can budget for it. But now you're putting yourself on a strain that means that the knock-on effect is that you're using all your cash that comes in and you're paying National Treasury on your overdraft and nothing is happening in infrastructure development. Nothing is happening there because you've got now this commitment and they sit with their hand on a very uncomfortable position where they will do what they did on February. If you don't honor, in April, if you don't honor that agreement, they will not allow you to do payments again. And the indication was that, yes, we can reconsider in the previous meeting. We can reconsider, but don't wait till you get to that point where you need to pay them and then negotiate, because then you're not negotiating out of strength. Then you are on your knees. You don't want to be on your knees when you negotiate. That's why you got this bad deal, because you were on your knees. They've just withheld your money. So please, I really request, come back in the next meeting to us and say, we have negotiated with National Treasury so that we can also then, Chairperson, if needs, because National Treasury said, the person that presented them said, look, I cannot take alone the decision, but we are open for discussion. And I really think that's the route to go, is do it now, make more money available so that we get infrastructure going. Then lastly, I want to ask, the previous, and I've got the figure in my head, I haven't got the document, I think you, in the first quarter, you underspent 817 million. That was the amount I can recall. Now it's down to 400 and odd million. There you said, because we couldn't pay the municipalities because we've got to wait for the first of July. When their budget kicks in, we can transfer to the municipalities, equitable share, the grants. So you brought that down, and that's fine. I was worried that that will increase. If that 400 million is cumulative from the 1st of April till now, end of September, then I'm happy, then we are moving forward. Then it means that we are catching up. So I'm happy with that. Then the last question, Chairperson, I really don't understand. You know, Chairperson, last year, members of Parliament did not get an increase. We just didn't get it. Well, this year so far, we also didn't get an increase. But still, this department is in dire straits. Then still, your department pays out 30 million rand on bonuses. Now, Chair, that really, with the situation that the department is in, ending a financial year with more than 5 billion rand, and then the minister in a reply says, yes, we've paid bonuses of 30 million rand to officials. 1,900 officials got bonuses. Now, it didn't go well with the department. So what you do is you take money that you could have paid some smaller emerging contractors to pay bonuses, and these guys to go bankrupt because you guys get bonuses. And that, for me, is wrong. I need an explanation on that, Chairperson. Unless I'm wrong, but I don't think the department or officials deserve a bonus of that amount of money if they only achieved on the program 328%. It doesn't make sense, Chairperson. Thank you.
I guess the question there was one of the issues that I also made a note on. How do you arrive at a bonus in the department? So that we are clarified going forward. Mrs. Kaula, noted, Mr. Mguni.
Ngibonga Sihlalo. Okwami yilokhu nje. Ngisacela umnyango kusicacisele inselelo izinselelo ezavela ngesikhathi ukukhokhelwana nale bokwana nekopo inikopa. Umnyango cacisele leli komiti, umnyango nekomiti awukaze uchaze ukuthi kuzoni kwenziwani kwizinto ezithinta amanzi athinta amanye eminye imingcele. Kusamele kuhlalwe phansi kuxoxwe. Ngishisa ukuthi thina siyileli komiti angikhumbuli la seke sahlala khona saxoxa ngento ethinta amanzi nathi nalabantu nalamazwe angomakhelwane ethu. Okunye njengesivumelwana nje esifuna ukwazi ukuthi siyaxoxwa kuphi, njenge ngikhuluma ngeSwazini esithinta iSwazini neSouth Africa. Ebese kuba yile nto-ke ethinta le nto yey'khala zemisebenzi. Umbuzo wami yini eyenza ukuthi zingavalwa lezi y'khala zemisebenzi? Kulindweni. Ngabe abatholakali nabantu abanama-qualification ukuthi bengakwazi kwenza lo msebenzi? And kunalolu udaba lwamabhakede. Ngazi noma ngizoba ngirongini uma ngithi ngo-2015 sasikhuluma ngawo esangathi into ezophela manje. Ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi amabhakede azophela nini? Mangaki asesele amabhakede? Ngishiswe yile mali e-186 million ekuthiwe yokuqeda. Njengoba lizoqedwa, mangaki-ke azosala amabhakede? Asele wona azoqedwa nini? Page 44 lo ngikhuluma ngawo. Sinale nkinga-ke yomasipala, sihlalo wami. Omasipala kunemali or kune-budget ehlezi ithulwa la ePhalamende ihambe kuze kushiwe ukuthi hhayi-ke agreed to ihamba manje yakomasipala. Ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi lakomasipala nje wabengakhokhi, ngabe abayitholi bona imali? Ma bengayitholi noma ma beyithola bekuyibona abayithatha boyisebenzisa kwezinye izinto. Ngifuna ukwazi-ke ukuthi yini enizoyenza, lo mnyango uzokwenzani ezoqinisekisa ukuthi bayakhokha? Ngoba njengoba uchaza nje esihlalo, abameli laba ayenye imali futhi leyabakhokhi bentela esebenzayo ngokungekumthetho. Okubuhlungu kunakho konke, ave kumnandi khona ukukhuluma la sihlalo wami, sikhuluma ngezimali amamiliyoni, sikhuluma ngamabhiliyoni, kodwa phansi asiwuboni lo nowodwa umsebenzi wenzayo. I-crisis noma iy'kalo zamanzi sihlalo zisalokhu zimile. Yingakho ngithi siyacela lani ukuthi ngempela kakwenziwe isiqiniseko, ngoba kusho ukuthi omasipala ngempela bayakhombisa ukuthi banenkinga. Njengoba engakhokhi nje funa basitshele ukuthi le mali bayisebenzisa bayishonisaphi esuke bayabelwe yona. Ngiyabonga Sihlalo.
What are the challenges with regards to the payment of foreign governments and international organizations? There was challenges with regards to those payments. What are those challenges? The second point that she raised was this transboundary agreement. The committee and the department has never really sat down and engaged about these issues. And what happens with issues such as that water that goes through two countries, for example, through South Africa and Swaziland. What happened in those instances? Transboundary agreements. The third point that she raised was the vacancies. There are so many vacancies that are not filled in the department. What is the problem there? Is there no suitable candidates? Why are the positions not filled? What is the reason that these positions are still not filled up to today? Then the package eradication system on page 44, the 186 million rand that was transferred to the package eradication system, how many packets were eradicated and how many are still to be eradicated? How much? Just give us the numbers there. Then the other issue is the municipalities that are not paying. Every year, certain budgets are allocated to municipalities, but then you find municipalities are failing to pay. What can be done to ensure that these municipalities are failing? Because clearly, these municipalities are given budgets to pay and to utilize in certain ways, but then you find them that they are not paying some certain debts. Is there a certain way that you can force the municipalities to pay? And the last point is, there's huge numbers being discussed here, billions and millions, and the third part is that on the ground, water issues are rising on a daily basis. So it's no use to come here and talk about these big numbers, but you find that on the ground that people are still suffering. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, good morning, ladies and gentlemen and colleagues. You know, I want to thank the department on the achievement. There are other achievements. We have done well in other achievements, the target that you have set, which is commendable. Hence, we also need to put some suggestion on those that you still have to uplift yourself. For example, I'm happy that you were able, like more especially you, water trading entity. But those municipalities that are not paying, you are taking them to court. And I'm happy that there are judgments. Some of them there now have started to pay through those judgments. And I would love that you put pressure. And also taking the proposal from Honorable Person, including the department, the same the main account department, that you know, if there are things that are usable that can make you win, irregardless where they come from, who is the person who's articulating that, as long as we are going to win, getting money, funds, or payments, use that. I think it was an easy process that he has labeled, he has mentioned here. Isn't it, Mare Zandi? This is very easy process. So if you can just use it, we did indicate last time that, please, we also support you to go and put a finger in the equitable share, but procedurally. But you know, I don't know that, I still have to ask Mr. Person to show me whether you can't go to Treasury. But the way he has put it is easy. Writing a letter to Treasury, telling this municipality, hey, these people are owing us so much money, you see. And the Treasury will say, hey, municipality, it's easy. Pay them, or you make agreements. Then, after paying them, give the receipt. The problem that I've realized, and it was even said, I think, 2 or 3 weeks back, is that you make agreements with municipalities. After the Treasury has released the money, municipalities do not honor those agreements. Then you have noticed that. If you have noticed that, what do you do thereafter? That's the question. What do you do thereafter? Do you continue to be smoothies? Smooth people with, they did not give. No, we'll still do another memorandum of understanding. No, it will. The time has come that now it's cut and dry. You don't pay, we don't give. No memorandum of understanding. The memorandum of understanding is the payment, is money. The other issue here is, I think they have alluded to issue of postpone. I don't know whether you are still using this PMDS, that is Performance Management and Development System. I don't know whether you are using it in your system. where you do our pay progression. Hey, Nami, I'm on the same, I'm swimming in the same pool. If you are not spending, you are not performing, how come that you are getting bonuses? Because these two things must balance. And this system, the PMDS system, Performance Management and Development System, is very easy. It has got steps how a person must perform. I'm not performing here. I don't read documents. I don't make you accountable. Why should I get a bonus? But Mr. Chairperson, we go around the cap and the corner. I was saying, KPMG. In? Ah, the cap and the from some of the panel, minutes.
PMG.
We have one of the PMG there. If you read them, they are writing good notes, good minutes. Good minutes, I'm telling you. Nami ni atibona lapaya kuthi hey ngibute kahle angabutanga kahle I percentage yami attend ama meetings singakanani. You see, that's performance. If I don't attend meetings, I always dodge and so forth, the community will judge me there. Why when you are supposed to have to put your capacity and be committed in your own job, you don't do that, why do you get the performance? Now we're going to go. I'm in a problem, Nkizo. In all your comment, projects are delayed. You know, projects are delayed because of. We did not pay because of. Because of you did not sign agreement. Because we did not pay because there are received. Oh my God. Gami, why do we say target? Why do we say target? If my target on Tuesdays, I'm going to attend basic education. Wednesday, I'm attending this thing. By this time, I must have attended 50 meetings by this time of the thing. As I said, you see, if I have attended less meetings, less than half, it's a problem. It's a problem. Why delays and delays? I don't understand my delays. And I don't understand these comments that you're saying. I'm not happy. I'm saying, sure, water trading. I'm happy with overport. We have got an iron land on the overport, on water ports. We have got iron land. But with the others, like the irrigation port, you need the judgments, you need what, and so forth, court judgments to force them. But they are not doing well. On page 69, you say, they own 224 million. Now, as we speak, they're owing 344 million. And it looks like they are not paying. What are you doing? So they don't get into billions. What are you doing? What are the plans? Are you also doing as you're doing to municipalities to ensure that they are paying? Court judgments and whatever. Are you doing that to ensure that? Lastly, the issue of our bucket system. Are we still on track? You remember that you gave me another target date. Are we still going to meet those? Maybe there's no longer target for the bucket eradication program. You understand? Now it's just going on. Because you also indicated that you took from the RC project budget and you reprioritized that to ensure that these buckets are taken into. Are we still on track or? There's nothing, because the number that you have indicated, 1,000 and something, from the 7,868, hey, to me it looks like we are backtracking. In fact, instead of moving to eradicate this thing, we always talk about bucket, instead of putting clean water, we must finish this bucket eradication. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. You know, I was, I guess it has to do with the extent in which the department is responding to some of the issues that we had actually raised, whether or not you will be able to achieve your set targets on your APP, that you were struggling to explain yourselves on how best you were going to meet your accruals. Today we are told of a number of your projects that are currently stalled. And some are projects whose explanation you would really require to be further elaborated. But there are many. That's a problem that I have. For instance, on page 29 on your slide, the tender response were higher than available budget. What does that mean? That talks to Middleburg groundwater supply. Makana bulk water fast-tracked the appointment of the contractor to a point where you would have wished to get to hear more of such. That's what exactly does that mean? You can go on and on and on to a point where I'm making a point, a note here that says whether projects that you could clearly hear and see that here you're going to have a problem, for instance, in the next financial year or two, whether you still need to have those on your APP. Granted, some work shall have started. You are either at a design stage or a stage where you shall have issued out a tender. Whether or not those, so that we don't repeatedly, year on year, quarter on quarter, expect the department to come before us and we get to hear stories for lack of a better one. Whether there is indeed a need for you to have those on your annual performance plans, or simply pull them out to save your face, if you like. It's something that is practically the department might just have to think about quite hard. Now, the last point I really wanted to table, given the fact that you are running short on your budget, whether or not the 2018-2019, you'd still be cutting down, the issue about innovation comes back again. It has to do, once again, I repeat, having to do more with less. Why are we not getting practical examples of those innovations that are being implemented out there? So that we are able to say, insofar as your Water Research Commission, the other day we spoke about it here, and practically suggesting that here is a Amathole District Municipality. There was a sanitation project there that was going on. What stops the department from simply moving in there? You can go on with other examples. I'm not going to talk about desalination because it is equally still very pricey. Whether we cannot, in practical terms, say, here are these innovations. To produce 50 megaliter of water, when you make that comparison between brick and mortar and your new innovations, this is how much are you saving. And those innovations are there, out there, in the marketplace, for us to tap on. Because I can, and I repeat again, draw only on one conclusion, that the department and especially officials, if it is to continue with the old way of doing things, brick and mortar and so on, your consulting engineer does not have an incentive. When having to look at a new innovation which could cost 100 million compared to the old way of doing things which could be costing 500 million. There is no incentive for that consulting engineer. There is no 15% for that consulting engineer on that 100 million. It's petty cash for him compared to that 500 million rand. So for the officials, it must continue to be business as usual. Instead of looking into other ways that saves the public purse money. I don't know how we are going to get around on that one. Perhaps the department might wish to comment on that. Okay, thanks. Let's take this round and then come back if there is still time.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I'll call on my TDGs to respond on some of the issues, then I'll come after them.
Thank you, Chairperson. Committee members, my name is Zandile Mate. I'm going to deal with the one of the buckets. Buckets, we started with a baseline of 52,000. We've since eradicated 32,000. We are left with almost 20,000. The challenge we are facing in us not committing to the date on which this bucket will be eradicated, it has been alluded to by the DG, who has indicated that this financial year we had to reallocate funds from other programs to make sure that at least we complete what was on the ground, because we were worried that it was also going to be fruitless expenditure, because National Treasury did not provide a budget for bucket eradication. We are going to have a meeting with them next week with the DG, and we are hoping that we'll be able to convince them, because the challenge that we're having is that, as members are saying, the deadline was 2015, and up till now we have not been able to eradicate the buckets. And I think part of the reasons would have perhaps maybe us not understanding the magnitude of the work that was needed, and at some stage challenges with regards to the appropriate technology that to be used vis-a-vis what people wanted on the ground may have led to all the delays as well as the financial challenges that we're facing. On Kobwa is the Komati River Basin Water Authority. Komati River Basin Water Authority that was responsible for the It's an organization that was created specifically to manage the Driekopies Maguga dams. Driekopies Maguga dams were built between South Africa and Swaziland, with Mozambique also signing for 2% of the agreement, where Mozambique was just signing for assurance of supply of water, because part of the water is coming from Mozambique. But the main players in Goba is Swaziland and South Africa managing the Driekopies Maguga dams. There are two, and those dams were built by loans that were taken by government at that time. It was in 1993 with various financial institutions. And the Republic of South Africa signed that they will therefore be responsible for the payment of their portion, which is 60% of the 40% of the project, 40% being 38% being Swaziland and 2% being Mozambique. Mozambique not only financially liable, but just providing the water in the agreement. So what then happens is that twice a year we receive invoices from the authority where they are requesting their drawdown from the Republic of South Africa so that they can be able to pay the banks. What happened was this time around, what we had projected that is going to be their first drawdown, it came at $8 million less than what we had projected. Now, if we have to go and report on ATP, you would have said, I'll pay $200 million. Now, if it's 192, it means you have not achieved because the invoice was like that. But that agreement is still going on. I think that is all that I can say. My colleague from International Relations is not here to give more details on the others, but maybe we can arrange for her. But the other agreements that we have as a department is the orange thing that regulates our relationship between ourselves and Lesotho. Then we also have ORASACOM. ORASACOM, that is where the minister is now. That involves Botswana, South Africa. They are all along Botswana, South Africa. I think Lesotho, to a certain extent, is also involved in the, I'm not an expert in this, but what happens is that all the international agreements are with those countries where we are sharing borders with, because those borders, unfortunately, rivers don't follow the geographic borders. We then share the river basins. But in those instances, it would be your Namibia, your South Africa, your Botswana, your Swaziland, Mozambique, to a limited extent. At the moment, there are also other plans to get into agreement with Zimbabwe on an agreement around Zambezi. But we can give more details. But as I said, that they are primarily driven by the relationship we have with that country in terms of the rivers that are flowing between those countries. And then they will then sit down as ministers, sign agreement on how that water will be shared by all those countries. But my colleague from International Relations can perhaps give more information on that. On the issue of the project that it's the Middleburg and the Sundays River. What happened, we also reported it, Chair, in the last quarter or in the annual report, I can't remember, but what happened was that you would give you will scope your project, your engineers will give you your cost estimate, you go out on tender. When the municipality went out on tender, the project came out, all the construction bids, they came out higher than the contract. Now, in this case, the implementing agent was saying, we can't therefore take these bids because we can't commit on these bids when we do not have the allocation as per the allocation letter by DWS. They therefore allowed those tenders to lapse. We have since sat down with them. We are renegotiating on the allocations moving forward. I am not sure about whether, I think I'll give the other question on the APP, whether should we remove other projects on the APP. But I can assure the Chair that seeing that there were budget challenges, we have written to the DG, requesting the DG to allow us to revise most of the targets under infrastructure, because as we all know that infrastructure was worse hit in terms of the budget cuts as well as the accruals that we have to carry from the other financial year. We are therefore waiting for the DG to allow us to revise the APP so that we can change some of our targets. Thanks, Chair.
I am Debramu Chotli. I am responding to the issues that are related to planning and information management.
But perhaps before I do that, Chair, let me try and respond to your issue on innovation. We have since realized that we may be seen as slow when it comes to uptake of new innovation. And there are some impediments related to that. Some of those relate to the procurement processes. Because when you say, I want this particular technology or whatever, you seem to be closing the tender for some specific people. So there's a bit of a challenge there. But the major one is when we are not sure as to whether what is being sold to us is really as it is packaged. So we have since gotten into some relationship with the Department of Science and Technology. They are going to assist us in looking as to how we can have this uptake or we seem to have appetite for the new technology. There's a memorandum of understanding that we are finalizing. They also have started, there's something that they have started on their site, they call it Vierda. I can't remember the full name of Vierda. They are working on a 10-year national research strategy. So we are trying to come together with WRC and them and the CSIR to see how they can assist the department. So we're giving that some attention. The questions that have been raised, number one is on why the MOAs have not been signed, the Memorandum of Understanding. Memorandum of Agreements. These are contracts. And so before the other party signs the contract, they have to be sure or be sort of satisfied on the contents of the Memorandum of Agreement. Now, there were some issues here that we needed to clear with TCTA. These two relate to TCTA, and in particular relate to the Mokolo Crocodile West Water Augmentation Project Phase 2. So that is the reason for the delay, because really, if I have to go into the details of what was in dispute, it may take us longer. The other question that was raised was around the budget on the situational assessment of the 15 district municipalities that could not be started due to funding shortfall. We have since, during the midterm budget, reprioritized our budget and allocated funds to those 17 district municipalities. If you were to ask us why we put them here without the budget, it is because these are related to Outcome 9 and to the 27 district municipalities that we are expected to assist. So that's the reason. I think I have responded. There are only two questions here. The amount, we have since reprioritized 18 million from some of the projects to address these municipalities. I think I've responded to all the questions that were related to planning and information management.
Just to answer the question on the water user associations and the irrigation boards, we have not handed any of these over because they fall under the ambit of the minister. They report to the minister. The minister has the right to disband in the board. She can change the board. She can disband in the whole water user association or irrigation board. So they're like naughty grandchildren, but we haven't handed them over because they fall under the minister.
Thank you, Chair. The question of the legal cost versus the debt collector that we have in the department, I think for debt collection, for the debt that we have on a water trading entity, the costs are part of the debt collection and are paid, are part of what the debt collector does in his work to recover the cost. But in terms of the legal costs, I think we will need to provide a response to that in terms of how much legal cost have we incurred to date, other than the cost relating to the debt collection. The question that my colleague did not cover is about the issue of the partial achievement in our
when you report our performance, the tool that we use from DPME has got three colors: the achieved, not achieved, and partial achievement. Partial achievement, they want us to report if there's a progress on that particular indicator. For instance, if we use BEP, the toilet that you are eradicating, if the structures have been erected but they're not yet flushing, that would be your partial achievement, because the full achievement, the toilet must be flushing. And we have those in the Free State where we've built the structures, but they are not yet connected to the bulk, so they're not yet flushing. So that would be your partial achievement. The issue of the bonuses, Chair, in terms of how these contracts are concluded at each individual level, like your admin staff and other people, if at those levels their achievement is per the contract or what they've been agreed with the respective supervisors, they've achieved, we are bound to pay the bonuses. But Chair, at this level, I can safely confirm that none of the people here receive bonuses. It's mainly at the levels behind the head of the programs, because if the program did not achieve, obviously the head of that program is not entitled to the bonus. But we can't use a blanket sort of to say everyone is not getting bonus, because people sign at different levels, like your PAs. If your PA made sure that they did the minis, they answered your phone, they're always in the office, they achieved their target, so you have to pay their bonuses. The engineers, if they made sure that they did what they were allocated to do, other than the overall achievement of what was set in the APP. So it is at different levels. And this department, being big as it is, obviously the cost of 30 million will result in that kind of cost being so high. But all the head of all the program managers here, since overall we did not achieve at least 80%, because I think 20% at least, if we did not achieve, that is acceptable norm. So none of the DDGs got bonuses. The issue of the shortfall in our budget, Chair, mainly in our bulk or mega infrastructure. We have had serious negotiations with National Treasury last year, including the both ministers, in terms of the project that we're involving, the mega projects. Some of them were at the design stage. Those ones where we're at the design stage, we were told to cut back. Where we have not started, we're not on the ground, not to be on the ground, because looking at the economic situation, there's no new money that Treasury will allocate to the department. So some of these projects, they are on the APP, because during the budget process, that's where they were, but there's no new money in terms of the allocation that we need to get to start these projects. But coupled with that is the money that is being owed by the municipalities, because the WTE budget is based on what they can recover, not mainly on the equitable share. So it was also part of the budget to say, if we recover these are the projects that are earmarked for this. So the non-recovery of the debt for municipalities has a real impact on some of the projects starting, because there's a shortfall in the entity's budget. Innovation, I think, DDG Moshotli covered them, but we are looking at these innovations, Chair. Unfortunately, some of them, they need investment as well to start doing these innovations, because some of these projects, we find that innovation comes now, but some of these projects are already underway. But for new projects, like the one that you mentioned, Chair, since it has not started, definitely we'll be looking at the innovations that came with the Water Research Commission for the dry sanitation in the Eastern Cape. In terms of recovering the money from the municipalities, Chair, I think think we did a lot in the department trying to recover this money from municipalities, meeting with National Treasury to see how they can assist us. But I do take the input from the Honourable Member, Basson, in terms of how he did for his constituency. We'll try any avenue for us to recover the money that is owed by the municipalities, because it has a serious implication in terms of how we render the services. Unfortunately, the debt will increase because we are not cutting the water. We still render those services to those municipalities, whether they pay or not. So a discussion with COCTA, with the portfolio committee involved, as well as the other committee from COCTA, we welcome that and see how we can resolve this issue. But if you look at the municipalities that are owing us, the majority of them, you'll find that aren't any economic activities happening in those municipalities. The financial power in terms of them paying us, but water being a human rights issue, we are bound by law to make sure that there is water in those municipalities. Thank you, Chair. We'll provide a detail on the legal cost in terms of how much we've paid and what we've paid for. Thank you very much.
Okay, members, that gets to be the response on round number one in the questions. Hoping and trusting that they were responded to properly. Mrs. Mahabane, noted, Mama Kaula.
Chairperson, yes, they did respond to the questions raised. But I just want to make a follow-up on the issue of the one of recovering money from the municipalities. Firstly, I would like to check as to who grants the district municipalities the authority or the powers to be a water service authority. Because when I check, the lot of district municipalities are failing to pay those monies. How about if we can, let me say we, how about if we can come into or taking a decision to say if the local municipalities can be granted also those powers to be water service authorities, are we not going to see a difference? Or we are saying the local municipalities does not have the capacity of servicing or rendering that water authority service? Because we may find that the district municipalities are failing or they don't have that capacity to service local municipalities or the communities. But if it's given to the local municipalities, we can see the difference. I'm just checking as whether it will be possible or not. Another thing, that issue of the targets are too high, and time and again they will report of the target not met and the target achieved. And the issue of budget decrease is there. I think it didn't start this year. Why the department is not coming up with a sizable number of targets that they may end up achieving than bringing that big or ballooning the numbers of which they know that they are not going to achieve because they do have this elephant in front of them of the decrease of budget. Lastly, does the department undertake an analysis of compliance and non-compliance of prescripts of the PFMA and National Treasury regulations on a quarterly basis? If yes, what are the challenges noted? Thanks, Chairperson.
Ma'am Kaula.
Ngibonga sihlalo. Angiphendula kanga la kulezi khala engavaliwe noma la kufana ngabe kuvalwa qasha abantu abangaqashelwa nguze khona ukuthi ngabe bashoda ngabantu nabangenawo ina ma qualification ukuthi bakwazi baqasha. Okay. Sengizalana ke manje sihlalo. Lana uyakhumbula mhlambe nawe uzokhumbula. Lana khona la sasivumele khona ngikulento yamabhaket. La sasigcina sivumelene khona ukuthi silomnyango. Kuyofuneka ngelinye ilanga u-housing. Akwazi ukuthi ke sihlale naye la. Ngoba khona lana thina esihambisana khona sibe okhazini lento kuthi umkhazini umzala sihlobene nawo ukuthi uhousing ngaphambi ukuthi aqale indlu akenze sure ukuthi lo mnyango uyawuthinta uba yiparty and parcel kuleyo ndawo ukuqala ngomapayipi ukuthi afakwe endle. Because yabona lento yamabhakethe angifuni ukudlala ngani mina nje ngokwami angiyiboni la sikhuluma khona ukuthi imali engaki waqiwe enzile mangaki ingakho ngibuza ukuthi mangaki asenikwazile ukufinyelela kona mangaki angakafinyeleli kona yayizwa loo nto. So lo sigidagide entweni eyi-one if u-housing singakwazi ukumbiza ngoba u-housing sihlalo usaqhubeka nokwakha izindlu ezintsha ezingenawo ilokhuza infrastructure ingqalasizinto njengamapipe amanzi nama-toilet. Thina-ke lana ukuze siqinisekise ukuthi lezi zindlu zifakiwe amapayipi kuyafuneka ukuthi lo mnyango wenze sure ukuthi u-housing angayakhi indlu engawuthintanga lo mnyango wethu uqinisekisa ukuthi abantu bazowathola amanzi nama-toilet ashawayo. Kodwa emalokishini okungicasulayo akhona. Emalokishini ayizakhiwa, mina ngihlala eThekwini, Durban. Ayakhiwa nje izindlu ey'khona zonke. U-housing maye yakha aqala ngamapayipi phansi. Kunamasuwa pipe. Kodwa mase kufika la emakhaya benza sure ukuthi basaqhubeka naleya system. Yingakho sihlalo mina bengiyocela lapho ngemvume yakho ukuthi le nto esake saxoxa ngayo ke sibuyeleni kuyona. Simbize u-housing lana ngoba omunye weza lo mnyango wethu ungathi uba yifeyila nokuthi uzolokhu sinenkinga yokulandelwa amabhakede ney'mpukane. Njengoba ngichaza ngithi iy'ndawo eziningi uyazibona bayazakha izindlu kodwa still abawafaki la malokhuzana kusasebenza wona la mabhakethi. Ngiyabonga. Enye sorry kancane. Enye inkinga ekhona la umuntu obezosilamulela ngabe uyasilamulela kuloba okomasipala sihlalo abangafuni ukukhokha ukhokha manje ukhokha. Ngokwami ngingasho ngithi mina ngimbona futhi engayimisele ukusebenzisana nathi noma ukulekelela ukubona izinto zenzeka phansi ngoba phela ukuba ukhokta uyanazi uqiniso ngaba sinayo le crisis engake yomasipala abangakhokhela amanzi while imali ziya phansi. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I'd like to, I was not answered about the issue of vacancies that have never been filled. Are these people short of qualifications or what? Secondly, we said when houses are being erected, they must never be constructed without sewer pipes. That's why we said the department should work hand in hand with the Department of Human Settlements, the so-called housing department, in order to ensure that the bucket system eradicate, in order to ensure the bucket system eradication, because the issue of bucket system cannot come to an end if these departments don't work in collaboration and together with us. Lastly, the Department of Human Settlements is still continuing to build houses without sewer pipes. in townships like in Durban, where I stay, the Department of Human Settlements does include the sewer pipes when building the houses, but when it comes to rural areas, they don't do so. I think the structure or the department that can help us is COOCTA, so that municipalities are able to pay for water for the sake of progress. Thank you.
Okay, let's take those two.
Thanks, DG. It's the Department of COOCTA that handles the WSA Water Service Authority status, and it was only done in 2002. It was done in consultation with us, but in some instances, some of our concerns were never taken into consideration. I think when you look, when looking forward to the meeting that we are going to have with COOCTA, we may have to revisit that discussion. It's called the powers and functions that were granted to municipalities in 2002. And I think it was at an early stage where most municipalities really were not ready to take over the function. And I don't think it was done from a scientific data information. So I do think that we do need to revisit that. Because in some instances, local municipalities were given the status. I know one province where they have the status, almost all of them. I can't remember which one. But so it was also not a uniform approach. I really don't know what formula that was used to do that. But it's true that most of them can't do the water business.
Thank you, Chair. The issue of vacancies, last year there was a moratorium on filling of vacancies because the department embarked on an exercise of reviewing the structure. So posts in the old structure were not filled until the finalization of this new structure, because after the sanitation came over to the department, there was a need to review the structure. And we embarked on that exercise of reviewing the structure of the department. So we only filled critical position that we were quite sure that even in the new structure they will still be required. Hence the existing of vacancies in the department. But in this financial year, we hope to fill the vacancies that are there in the department. Then the issue of the analysis in terms of prescripts, it's a law. On a monthly basis, we have to report to the National Treasury if there's any non-compliance, especially your irregular, your fruitless, and other things. There's a report, I think it's called Section 40 reporting in finance that we do, where we report on all, even in terms of supply chain processes. If we did not follow a process on any particular thing, you need to report to Treasury within 10 days, as well as to the AG, to the Auditor General, if you did not follow the legislation or the prescripts, especially the PFMA and the Treasury regulations. In terms of the targets, whether we can, some of the things, especially where we don't have adequate funding, whether we can take them out of our APP. I think it's a discussion that is ongoing with the National Treasury. I know there's a meeting that is also arranged with the minister, both ministers, next week to see how we can unlock these non-fundable projects, because the draft allocation letter that we have, we see that there will be a gap in terms of these. We welcome but we don't want to lose track of these projects. But all we need, because they're important, they have serious implications if they can be taken off, because some of these projects were announced in SONA, some of them were announced in the budget speech of the minister. So the issue of the funding, it came after the effect. So how we take them off is something that really, after we have tried all avenues to get the funding for it. But if we
doing a malicious compliance, we have easily taken them off and put the target that we can easily achieve. But we still want to pursue this because at the time when these were conceived, they were very important projects, and we still want them to be done. So we want us to be prioritized in the allocation of funding, same as other overheating pressures that are happening in government. But these as well, we feel that if they can get funding for it, either it will unlock the economic potential of that particular province, and we can deliver water as we're supposed to in terms of the law. So we want all these mega projects to be done, Chairperson. Thank you.
Are you done?
Sure.
You sure you've responded to all the questions? Okay. If you say so, I shall remind you some other day. Members, are we fine? Are we okay? Have we been responded to? Time now is 26 minutes after 12. That is the only item that we were having for today. We shall then have to agree that we've come to an end of our session. Next week we shall be expected to, together with COCTA and National Treasury, come back here and deal with the issues as expected. Now, these are issues that relate to non-payment by municipalities of the amounts that have caused some problem within the department itself and also water boards. You had to go on an overdraft in anticipation of those monies being paid into your accounts. So you budget. Even now, we see that your budget is, what, 5.8 billion. But as to whether that's your income budgeted for, but as to whether you are going to indeed receive that, it is something else. What do you call that accounting system again? Cruel. Does it do good for you? Having learned from the experience, obviously it has put you into this situation. So that should be the response directly. Members, I think we have come to the end of our... I saw your hand, Mom Kaula, sorry.
No, Hlalo, uyangichaza uMasuthi. Next week kukho kuzoba khona special njengalokhu akade ngikusho okuthinta no-housing. Angazi noma mhlawumbe bakukhohliwe noma mhlawumbe ngophendulayo la.
Ubani wabakhohliwe?
Lokho kuthi if uma ngabe u-housing eqala indlu fanele abe abathinta baka-water kuze siye sikwazi ukuthi ekugcineni singabi nale nkinga yamabhakede ukuthi siyacela u-housing nabe yiphathi yalo ukuthi azodonswa ngamadlebe ukuthi aye kuhambe zakhe izindlu engenawo ama-sewer pipe.
Okay.
We plead the Department of Housing be called to come and present so that you are able to teach them how to do their job.
Okay, I guess the only message that is coming out of that is that us, or rather human settlement, must also be invited. That's what in summary Mom Kaula is pleading. Members, we have come to the end of our session without taking much of the time, and the meeting is adjourned. As we said, 17th of November, it is at World Toilet Day. We are all invited, those who can make it, 17th of November in Upington. An application has since been submitted for those members who can make it. And then on the 5th of December, it is that investment summit the department is convening in Johannesburg somewhere. Again, an application has since been submitted on that one. For some of us who can make it, initially it was meant to be on the 30th of November. Meeting is adjourned indeed. Thank you. The sitting starts at 2, not at 3 today.
Never be to stand.
I don't know Thomas said.
Oh, you don't even know Thomas said.
When are you must be there? I know.